Ghost. We hate to bless, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made. To fill the hearts which thou hast made. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, my words, what I have done, what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty and merciful God, that we may in truth receive a share in the resurrection of Christ your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The crowd in Philippi joined in the attack on Paul and Silas. And the magistrates had them stripped, ordered them to be beaten with rods. After inflicting many blows on them, they threw them into prison and instructed the jailer to guard them securely. When he received these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and secured their feet to a stake. But at midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, as the prisoners listened, there was suddenly such a severe earthquake that the foundation of the jail shook. All the doors flew open, and the chains of all were pulled loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, slew his sword and was about to kill himself. Thinking that the prisoners had escaped, Paul shouted out in a loud voice, "Do no harm to yourself. We are all here." He asked for a light and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. But he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. So they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his house. Took them in at the hour of the night and bathed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized at once. Brought them up into his house and provided a meal, and with his household rejoiced at having come to faith in God. The word of the Lord. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. If you have heard the words of my mouth, in the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship you at your holy temple and give thanks to your name. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. Because of your kindness and your truth, you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When they called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Your right hand saves me, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I will send to you the Spirit of truth, says the Lord. He'll guide you to all truth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, now I'm going to the one who sent me. Not one of you asked me, where are you going? But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it's better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he'll convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin because they do not believe in me. Righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation because the ruler of this world has been condemned. The Gospel of the Lord. I feel the reading from the Acts of the Apostles is, there's a lot there. A lot. Let's try to unpack it. See how this applies to us. Paul is on the move. He's not going to allow any grass to grow underneath his feet. Almost as if there's an urgency. He feels compelled, an urgency to preach as much as he can, to teach as much as he can, spread the good news as much as he can. We find him with Silas, so they go out two and two. So apparently yesterday we see him in Philippi, and he's seeking for a place to rest, so he goes to a nearby lake or stream, and Lydia comes with her friends. He preaches, and Lydia and her household is converted. But in the interim, apparently, they have made the people in Philippi angry, and someone has roused up the crowd against them, and they're persecuted. They're thrown in jail. But before they're thrown in jail, they're stripped, and they're beaten with rods. And it says, not a blow or two, but many blows. They're beaten with rods. Then they're thrown into jail. But where they're thrown into jail is there's an inner place. The innermost cell. Why? Probably for fear that they might escape, or maybe their friends could get in and escape them. So the innermost cell, and not only that, but their feet are secured by a stake, which means they got manacles and chains. And so they can't even move. Paul is going to say another place, the word of God cannot be chained. And what would happen that happened to you? You're persecuted, you're rejected, you're beaten with sticks, you're thrown into the jail, not gently escorted, but you're thrown into the jail. And your wounds are festering. Incredible what they're doing. Is that they're not throwing a pity party, but they're doing two things. They're praying and they're singing hymns. Talk about holy indifference, huh? Talk about holiness. Talk about detachment. So with that, God intervenes. God can intervene any time, any place, in any manner. He intervenes by means of an earthquake. What happens? The chains are rent, and the doors are, they're open in the jail. Now the jailer, it's interesting. The jailer was there to secure the fact that those prisoners will not get out. What did he think? They've escaped. What would be his chastisement if the prisoners escaped? Well, it's not said, but the Romans were pretty demanding, yeah. Could have been his death. So he's reasoning. If they're gonna humiliate me, they're gonna kill me, might as well do it myself, it'll be easier. It'll be quicker. Suicide was the best solution. There's a lot here. Paul and Silas, I don't even think they see the guy, but they're so synchronized with the Holy Spirit that they're reckoning, because Paul is a Roman citizen, so he knows the way the Romans think. He's aware that the jailer is probably going to kill himself, so he cries out, "Don't do anything to yourself, we're here." In other words, you're not going to lose your life because we're still here in the jail. Paul prevented this man from going to hell. You know, it might be in our lives, we're going to meet people that are living in a state of despair. A quiet state of despair, or maybe even open state of despair. Maybe God is going to call you to help them. Maybe God is going to call you to save them. How many lifeguards have saved people from drowning? Aren't we called to save people from spiritually drowning? Sometimes it was just a word, and he didn't say that much. He didn't get up and pontificate and give an hour sermon. It's just a few words. Sometimes a few words said in the right tone, in the right place, could be enough to save someone. Can move someone from profound desolation to consolation. So you see how Paul turns what seems to be a moral tragedy into an incredible victory. See how it changes now. He's about to kill himself. Don't do anything. We're here. And the man falls to his knees and he asks possibly one of the most important questions in the world. What can I do to be saved? Someone would ask you, what can I do to be saved? What would you say? Principle Foundation says we're called to save our souls, right? What can I do to be saved? So they are freed from the jail. The jailer takes him to his house. And it's a small detail, but don't forget, they've got these gaping wounds. He tends to their wounds. And they sit down, and Paul and Silas, with the jailer and his family. So you got Lydia and her family's converted. Now you got the jailer and the family sitting down. And Paul, the word of God cannot be chained, can it? He's preaching and teaching them. It was a very click RCIA class, wasn't it? Didn't take 2 years. Probably only took a couple hours, but Paul was known for his concise way and quick way of working things, huh? You know, in our lives, God can work very quickly if we're walking with God. What may take many years, we walk with God, it can be done instantaneously. I think as Teresa of Avila, as well as Ignatius, point out that all the studies in the world, say for example you studied the best university in the world, theology, for 50 years. The Holy Spirit can give you more insight in 1 second. Okay, Father, I won't study. No. Say that, that's presumption, right? Because Ignatius had the Carbonnière experience where he's able to see an intellectual insight and he's able to understand everything. It's called the gift of understanding, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. An enlightenment, a total enlightenment. Silas and Paul, they baptized this jailer and this whole family. And they sit down and they go to town. They celebrate. They've got a nice meal. One thing among the many messages here is just the total openness of Paul and Silas is that they're wholly indifference to the max. Totally open. Can we preach? Beaten with rods, chained. Well, we're here. God has allowed this to happen. Why not sing songs and pray? And there's another convert. You would think of all the places, that would be the last place where people would be open to convert. They're in the jail. The jailer, and you think, not, okay, the jailer, but his whole family. And he probably spread the news among his friends. Have you ever heard of the call of the king? Not to be deaf to the call. Did you hear me? I think that this passage is a motivation for us, even during this time of crisis, not to simply sit on our hands and play tic-tac-toe and throw pity parties. No? There's still a lot of souls that can be saved. Let's pray for some of this spirit of St. Paul and Silas, that we'd be open, docile to the Holy Spirit, and to be worked for an abundant harvest of souls. Amen.